so you can say dumb stuff and sit up here and then run up people's faces and talk. And I want the rest of you to learn to start saying to people, oh, and by the way, what are you offering? What are you offering? Now, there were some people in the chat room here because that's the way that happened. That's perfectly fine. I'm going to go ahead and open up the telephone line. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. There's a person in the chat room named Lucky, Lucky, Lucky. This is your lucky evening. You can go ahead and give us a call now. You can go ahead and give us a call, Lucky. There were a couple other names I saw in there. So my mods blocked them. I actually unblocked them. AG can give us a call since they've got so much to say here. No. I want you all to be very clear that when I say what thing of the society, when I explain to you what intellectual level or lack thereof that we're dealing with, the moment they start talking, it's not me saying it. I'm not the one doing it. I'm just reporting the news. If they were able to articulate these things, I'm not in their way. I'm not in their way. But just understand, being a perpetual hater is a failure. And haters, in their world, attention is currency. Tell me how much that helped Eddie and Chris and Dave when they were trying to come up. They didn't want to hear about your damn attention. They wanted tangibles. They wanted tangibles. They didn't want to hear somebody running their damn mouth. They want you to put them tangibles on the table. So Molly, just go ahead and tell them to call on up. They'll be glad to do so, I'm sure. And we can hear what they have to say. They're more than welcome to do that. Get their area code, and I'll make sure they get bumped to the front of the line. I'll make sure they're bumped to the front of the line. If you call up, you better be coherent or you will get clowned. Those are your warnings. Let me get call from 856. You're live with the Black Channel.
Yes. All black people out here listening now.
What is your name?
How many more broadcasts does Jason Black have to do before you realize we have to all be on the code?
Okay. What is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bridgeton, New Jersey.
Bridgeton, New Jersey. And
Jerry,
what's your name?
Don.
Jerry from Bridgeton. Okay. And what was on your mind?
I just want everyone to, let's cut the chase. Let's all be on code. How many more broadcasts does Jason Black and Professor Black Truth and Tariq Nasheed have to do before you all realize what we're supposed to be doing right now? How many more?
Apparently a lot more. Thank you very much for your call. All right, brother, let me get caller from 217. You're on live with the Black Channel.
What's up, brother?
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Damon calling from Indianapolis.
Okay, why don't you get your phone situation straightened out? It sounds like he's calling from the inside of a plastic cup. Caller from 919. So far, I haven't gotten any of the people who were in the chat room so vocal to call up. Not sure what's going on. Caller from 919, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? I haven't gotten any of the people who were in the chat room so vocal to call up. Not sure what's going on. Caller from 919. Caller from 919 is apparently doing his hollies right now. By the way, understand something. If you really want a microcosm into why these people are not worth listening to, do you see what I'm saying here? Do you see what I'm telling you? If you can't make it through a telephone call, how in the hell are we supposed to listen to you for anything else? You can't make it through a phone call. Think about that for a few moments. You weren't even able to make it through a telephone call. You're unable to keep irresponsible penises out of you and producing children, but you're going to tell us about Eddie Murphy and Dave Chappelle. You're going to beat us. I'm just saying. Caller from 267, you're on live with the Black Channel.
What's up, Black Authority, Jason Black? How you feel, good brother? I had a question for you. This is Recognized Game from YouTube. I'm out here in Philly. And I wanted to really challenge you on your views about the H.R. 40 and assembling the commission.
Okay.
Now, I understand that you believe that the commission is something that's irrelevant or something that should not even be considered as something that we should do, because all we're going to do is study the reparations case. But in fact, the H.R. 40 says that we are to study, which is one. Number two, we are to develop remedies. No, we're to develop remedies and proposals for reparations payment.
No,
so
that is not.
Why do you believe?
No, sir.
So why do you believe?
Said, sir.
No, that's true. That's like the first three lines.
No, sir. That's not. No, sir. That I did a definitive broadcast.
That is true, sir.
I read the bill from the beginning, sir. No, that is not what it
says. Yeah, the
all.
Very first line of the H.R. 40. Sir, just let me finish, and I'm going to let you do your whole
thing.
Sir, you're
already wrong, but go ahead. You're already wrong.
No, that's 100% correct. And anybody that reads the first line of the H.R. 40 will see that it's a study with the purpose of developing proposals and remedies for payment for reparations, descendants of African chattel slaves, is the purpose of the H.R. 40. Now, what I want to ask you is, why do you oppose assembling the commission? Because I often hear you say that the Japanese did not have a commission. That is wrong. That's not true. The Japanese, the NCRR, that is the commission for the H.R. 442, which is the reparations for the Japanese who receive reparations for their time in the for their time spent in the internment camps. So that's false. The Jewish had a commission. The Jewish had a commission.
The
period.
The Jewish
had a commission, and they received reparations. Why are you spreading disinformation throughout the internet? This is Recognized Gang on YouTube, and I'm asking you, Jason Black, why do you continually spread disinformation about the purpose of H.R. 40 and assembling of the commission?
Redundance of my quote unquote intestinal
right, exactly. Ha ha ha! But you have no answer, good brothers. Now, when you get done with your little shenanigans, answer the question.
Aphrodisiac symptoms, which now perpetrate.
Right. Now answer.
Oh, by do not misinterpret the chauvinism.
Right. Right. Now answer.
Terrible thing.
Now answer. Okay, funny. Now answer.
No, there's nothing funny about this level of stupidity.
I know. Answer the question.
There's nothing funny about this law. Philadelphia, if y'all want to know
Absolutely.
Why I don't support your so-called principle on the build schools, this is Philadelphia's black male representation.
Why do you oppose the commission when why do you continually say that the Japanese did not
this
have a commission? And why do you continually say that the Jewish do not have a commission when that is false?
Male representation in Philadelphia. And while it is not all
you
black males, unfortunately, this is indicative
right.
of the typical one. Yeah.
Right.
Right here.
Now, can you answer,
they
sir?
All sound like they could
Are you
be
going
a
to answer?
Teacher who, if he was a
okay.
little bit more emotionally and mentally
right.
balanced,
right.
it might work
right.
a little bit better for him. But other than
okay.
that,
are you going to answer?
It doesn't work out.
Are you going to answer?
It doesn't work out.
Are you going to answer, sir? Jason Black, are you going
anybody,
to answer the question?
Anybody in the chat room saying things like, let him talk, I've already let him talk. So, mods, you can ban anyone who says that. I already let this jackass talk. I already did.
Jason Black.
I let him talk.
Are you going to answer my question,
anything.
Sir?
He's literally not saying
sir.
Anything. He's a baboon who hasn't read the bill. And he's
okay.
trying to tell everybody
okay.
what
I'm actually very intelligent, Jason, and you're intelligent too. And that's why I wanted to speak to you, sir. But you aren't even willing to answer one question when you're challenged.
You are correct. I'm not. You're correct. I'm not.
I get
not
it. I know. I realize that.
That.
I realize
now,
that.
Here,
you
here's what I want
can
to
go
do.
Scurry into
here's
a little corner because you're scared. Because you're wrong
phone.
And you're.
Okay. When you have a male who cannot control his emotions, black women in Philadelphia, they see this. They see this. Black women in Baltimore, they see this. A nigga who's loud and ain't saying nothing, they see this. Jason, you is being rude. No, you are an illiterate baboon also. I already did the program about this. And by the way, no, I meant what I said. If you all remember, he told you that the very first words of Sheila Jackson Lee's H.R. 40, he said the very first words are to develop strategies and remedies. I am going to read for you the very first word of the text of H.R. 40. 116th Congress, first session, H.R. 40, to address the fundamental injustice, cruelty, brutality, and inhumanity of slavery in the United States and the 13 American colonies between 1619 and 1865, and to establish a commission to study and consider a national apology and proposal for reparations for the institution of slavery, its subsequent de jure and de facto racial and economic discrimination against African Americans, the impact of these forces on living African Americans, to make recommendations to the Congress on appropriate remedies and for other purposes. In other words, this clown does not know what it says. He called up and specifically misrepresented what it says. I just read for you what it says. The very first words of it are, oh no, we're here to study. We're not here to do anything. Now, I want you to know right now, if you all want to know why black people in Philadelphia are 45% of the population and 1% of the wealth, that caller was indicative of why. He was indicative of why. Now, I will address one other thing the baboon said. I will address one other thing the baboon said. Yes, he does represent Philadelphia. Yes, he does. Oh, Philadelphia, you got to hold this L. Philadelphia, got to hold this L. You got to. You got to. You have to. Philadelphia, this is you. I've been to Philadelphia enough times. Roosevelt, Adams, I ain't going Broad Street, Front Street. I've been there enough times. No, Philly, you got to hold this L. You got to hold this L. I know that it's not every person in Philadelphia, but let's just be real. As a group, Philadelphia got to hold this L. Philadelphia got to hold this L. For every black person with some sense in Philadelphia, I can find five niggas like that. You got to hold this L. You got to hold this. You have to. You have to. Now, the next thing is when he was talking about the Japanese. Now, second of all, he's misrepresenting Japanese reparations. Totally misrepresenting that. I'm not going to read more of H.R. 40 because I don't want to get off the woods on that. And I'm not going to go into more about Japanese reparations because I don't want to get off in the woods on that. What I am going to tell you all is right now, as black people right now in America today, do you realize that they just passed America spends about $1 trillion on defense every year. They just passed the newest Defense Act, which recognized the Little Shell Indian Tribe. I talked about that last night. And 4,000 Liberians, I talked about that last night, didn't require any study. They just took one of their fingers, put it in the wind to see what direction the wind was blowing, and said, hey, we'll go with this number. But we're talking about a nation that spends trillions of dollars a year on defense. No studies required. None. Now, as black people in the socioeconomic and sociopolitical environment that we're in today, how many of you are willing to tolerate for a nation that can cut the check for $2 or $3 trillion in an afternoon to go bomb people to hell around the world? How many of you are willing to tolerate somebody telling you, well, we need to study it? And some jackass somewhere jumped up and claims that there was a study before the Japanese were given reparations. How many of you are willing to accept that as a reasonable explanation for why you have to have a study before we can get to your reparations today? How many of you are willing to accept that as your explanation today? That's the question I'm going to ask you. How many of you are willing to accept that? How many of you don't think that's a stall tactic? How many of you want to see our gays in the Equality Act and illegals already talking about giving them reparations for trying to break into the country? And then this guy calling up, supposedly a black male in Philadelphia, calling up defending a study. If you want to know why black folk in Philadelphia have not taken the reins of power, it is because your black representation in Philadelphia thinks like him. White folk can run up to him and say, no, we're not going to cut the check. We'll commission a study. Don't you think a study is a good idea? And he's sitting there, oh, yeah, boss. Yeah, boss, it's good. Yeah, boss, we need to study. We really need to study. You know why? Let me just go ahead and explain to you all what that's really about. It's because we have cultivated, because of the absolutely atrocious, quote, public educational system in the industrial complex, we have a bunch of black folk who have perfected the art of sitting on the damn street corner talking in circles. We've perfected the art of talking in circles. So when you sit down and tell some nigga we want to sit here and study it, he wants to break out his abacus and his slide ruler and his stack of history books, and he wants to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk some more. He wants to debate it. He wants to gather together the Democratic Society. Let's get us together in a round circle. Let's hold a cipher, because that's something he can wrap his pea brain around. He can wrap his mind around that. I'm saying, damn the study. Let's get to the part after that. I've already done the study. I don't need Congress to do a study. I've already done the study. Now you just want to stall. I don't need Congress to study because I've already done it. All of you have already done it. I don't need them to study what is the appropriate remedy. I already got the remedy. Cut the check. I don't need to discuss it, study it, debate it, commence. And this nigga talking about he wants white folk to study it first. I don't need to study it. I've done the study. Dr. Claude Anderson has done the study. Dr. John Henry Clark did the study. We've already studied it. We already know what needs to be done. But niggas get scared. When a nigga been spending his whole damn life talking, and he's never actually had to create prosperity for himself or anybody else, he gets scared when you talk about it's time to produce tangible results. He gets scared. He gets scared because now you want to know what the hell's going on. Now you're going to hold people accountable. Bottom line is he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. So we talk about building more schools, which is just another way of saying let's study it. I'm saying damn the studying. We need to get to the practicing. But Jason, we don't know. If I give you money to learn with, because you're going to make mistakes on the road to learning economics, we need to get out here and be properly funded so that we can do these things, make the mistakes, learn, and then perfect it. But to hell with this studying mess. Donald Trump, when he has his television show, Apprentice, he doesn't tutor anybody. He doesn't tutor anybody. He says, this is the goal. I'm going to give you a little bit of money, and you go figure it out. And you're either going to come home with the shield or on it. That's the way economics works. That's the best education you're ever going to get. When you have an economic base, you can afford to finance your children making mistakes. You don't study it. You get them out there and get them to doing it. Brothers and sisters, we've had 100. Is there any black person listening to me right now who has not studied the issue of reparations and doesn't know whether or not we're supposed to get it? Is there anybody other than that guy who just got off the phone who still needs to study it? I'm asking you all right now, is there anybody in this chat room on the line? If somebody else who says, Jason, I've been alive all these years, but I don't know what to do about reparations, and I really think we need a study before I know what to do or before I can tell you what the answer is. Is there anybody? People, if you want to know the reason why I'm telling black folk don't vote in the next election, it's because we ain't ready. We ain't ready. We're not ready because you don't have a unified agenda, because you got Negroes in your ranks talking like this. The Dominican who identified black when convenient, who called in last night talking like that. Sitting here amongst us saying, yes, I'm in favor of reparations, but I don't have a problem. Do you realize that caller basically was offending voting for Bernie Sanders? Because Bernie Sanders is in favor of voting for Sheila Jackson Lee H.R. 40 that studies reparations, but don't actually give you damn thing. Bernie Sanders said outright he is against reparations, but he's for H.R. 40. Did you get that? Here in the New Black Media, broke that down a year ago. Bernie Sanders, remember, when he asked about reparations, he says, I'm against reparations. Then he told you, but I'm for H.R. 40. Well, what does that tell you about H.R. 40? If someone was diametrically, look it up, if someone was 180 degrees turned against reparations, it tells you that he supports H.R. 40. That's supposed to be your first damn clue, though the only one, but your first clue that H.R. 40 isn't going to give you reparations. Bernie Sanders says against reparations, but for H.R. 40. That tells you everything you need to know about H.R. 40. But this guy, who just off the phone, couldn't figure that out. No, I'm not clowning. He's clowning himself. He's clowning himself. Black folk in Philadelphia, if you want to know why it is you haven't been able to strong arm the city council into doing your bidding, it's because Negroes like him show up, and instead of demanding these people break bread, they instead say, well, we'll settle for a study, and we'll call that progress. This guy is telling you all, let's study the situation some more. I want more studying. Well, dude, I guess I'm just way ahead of you, because I don't need to study it anymore. And yeah, I am keeping it all the way real like that. Black women in Philadelphia, brothers, if you want to know why the women don't take you seriously, it's because there are entirely too many damn niggas like him sitting in Philadelphia bending their ear, and the women get tired of it. They get sick of it. They get sick of hearing somebody battle his ass off, because when they go to work for white folk, when they go to work for Asians, when they go to work for Arabs, when they go to work for Jews, when they go to work for East Indians, those people don't talk like that. They are getting things done, and they get it done now. They don't talk for all damn day. But you run off a black male who isn't ready to move. He's got no agenda, and he isn't ready to move. So he's telling all of us, you know, we really need to consider that study white folks been offering us. They've been offering us a study. Like, we don't know what needs to be done. So, and the next thing he'll say is, by the way, when the study is commissioned, what you need to do is you need to bring me in. Y'all need to let me speak for black folks. When the study comes through, y'all need to let me be on the panel or the commission that speaks to the white folks about the necessary changes and evolution, de-evolution that needs to be done. And I will sit here in the Democratic seat or high chair, as it was, and I will discuss the situation on black people's behalf, or half, or whole wheat, if you will, about what we do for reparations. That's what the hell we're talking about. That's what the hell I'm talking about. And then you wonder why so little is done. Cut from 901. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Jason Black.
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Byron. Calling from Huntsville, Alabama, brother. How you doing?
What's on your mind?
Well, I was just calling to touch in on the topic at hand about, you know, the guys that, you know, may have white wives or wives that aren't black, whatever, but are still doing good business, that are providing and helping the community and whatnot. Well, I'm one of those guys, you know what I mean? I got a white wife, but you know, I'm a successful businessman. We own our own comic book store, and you know, we do really good business. And you know, it's in a really racist part of Alabama. So whenever I go into the store, I have to act like I'm delivering product, or, you know, acting like I'm just a customer, and it's my own business. I fund everything. I pay for everything. We own everything, even the building. But yet I still have to act like I have no part in the business, or I know those white folks won't give me their money. So you know what I mean? So I'm definitely the epitome of, you know, one of those guys you're talking about that may be black, but not maybe black, but I am black, and you know, have a white wife, but I, you know, I'm still a successful businessman, and I still do business, and I still support my people, I support your channel, and I just wanted to make that point.
Okay, well, definitely, like I say, as far as doing business is concerned, we do business with everybody. We do business with everybody. Now, when it comes time to determine the black agenda, now, you won't have it at the table. But everything else, you're perfectly welcome.
Indeed. And, you know, I appreciate how you require a lot from your listeners. You require your listeners to be sharp, on point, because right now, like I tell my kids, we are in a war zone. That's a fact. It is 2020 almost, and I still have to hide my identity in my own business because of the fact I'm black. So, yeah, it's not a game.
Actually, it sounds like it's time for a new business. If you hide your face at your own business, you might want to reconsider some of that black nerd community that you're part of there, because there's no, if you've gotten comfortable being in a position like that where your very existence is somewhat reviled, and meanwhile, I'm buying gear from B&H Photo and Adorama, where they're taking off, it seems like, every other weekend, Shabbat or some other Jewish observance. On their website, you can't even buy gear on a lot of weekends. So, and as a black male, you got to hide yourself. So, like I say, this is the problem we have with individuals when they date interracially, is that black people as a group do it from a sick perspective, where everybody else will be empowered except us. And so it's gotten to the point where, I mean, you're a grown man with a business, and I don't know if you actually own it, because you're talking like your wife owns it, really. The way you speak, it sounds like she owns it, and you kind of just help her run it. But that's not the way power moves, man. It's not really the way power moves. You got the white customers, but you scared to represent your own business. And don't think for a second that they don't know. Don't think they don't already know. You're just holding your head low because you feel self-conscious. Not that they don't already know. But this is the problem with black people. Not just black males, black people who prioritize interracial sexual access. They do it from a position of, I don't care how much dignity, self-respect, and pride I have to give up, I'm going with these people to like me. And that's the problem that we have with that. So, brother, you really want... Do you have kids with her? Of course you do.
Yes, I do. Yes,
of course
yes.
You do. I'm going to say, of course.
I'll ask you a question.
Of course he does. Go ahead and make your last thought.
The reason why it seems like, you know, she owns the business and whatnot is because, you know, I dealt myself a bad hand early in life. You know, I'm an 80s baby born in 1980. You know, that was a pretty rough era. You know what I mean? I was definitely involved in gangs heavily. And I guess to make my point is, you know, some people, like you say, You don't care what you have to do to get out, to survive. You know, you do what you have to do. So, you know, I know you speak that language, so I'm pretty sure you're going to understand what I say when I say this. I can't put my name on anything, if you dig what I'm saying.
Okay, brother, I got one question to ask you, and I need you to keep it all the way real. I'm not going to clown you. No clowning going to be involved. But let's just keep it real. Now, what city are you in?
What city am I in?
Yes.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay. You're in Huntsville, Alabama. Keep it. All the way real for a moment here. Just keep it all the way real. How many times has she called a bigot?
How many times? None that I have heard her say.
Okay. How many times has she said some off the wall racist white stuff? How many times has that happened? Be honest. Right now, you ain't keeping it real. Be honest.
Well, she's never said any off-the-wall racist things. And besides, you know, I did 15 years in prison. She held me down the whole time. So, all that stuff's kind of, all that stuff's kind of neither here nor there. When somebody holds you down like that, you know, you honor that regardless of the race or whatever, you know. Somebody holds you down for 15 years, writes you letters, never stops, you know, that's an honorable thing.
Okay. Well, brother, like I say, I mean, I'm not gonna denigrate your situation like that. Congratulations on staying out of prison. That's helpful there. It sure does sound like you got a little buck broken going on in there. It sure does sound like that. And whether you got, you know, whether you got paperwork on you or not, like I say, just that's not healthy to be out here in the free world and still operate from a mentally shackled point of view, because there's no way that you are the leader in your household with the type of responses and emotional energy I'm receiving from you. This is not a leader. You're a nice guy, I'm sure. You're a nice guy. You're polite. You're certainly law abiding, at least even. That's not in dispute. But what I'm saying is that in Huntsville, Alabama, in this situation, from what I'm picking up, I find it difficult to believe that with the adjustments that you've made, it might be keeping you out of trouble with other things. I get that. And that's important. But man, I'm just not hearing strong head of the household here. I'm getting that vibe off of her. Was saying, I'm picking that up off of her. I'm not picking that up off of you. And that's what bothers me. That's what bothers me about what I'm hearing.
Well, you know, the thing is, I am the breadwinner of the family. I do provide all the funds. I am the mastermind. But like I said, I'm at a disadvantage because let's just say my money can't be accounted for whatever reason, you know what I mean? So, you know, as far as being a leader, I strive to be a leader. I'm definitely gaining a lot more leadership qualities listening to your show. You know, you give me inspiration, you give me strength. And, you know, especially being in the position that I'm in, considering I dealt myself a bad hand, and by any means necessary, there you go, there's that slogan, right? By any means necessary. With grace, I got, you know, I'm pulling myself out, and like what did Nipsey say? Balling so hard you can pay your bitch. That's me, bro. That's what I do, and that's what I did. My story is Nipsey's story. Nipsey's story is my story. Shout out to all the brothers out there in the struggle.
Yeah,
on the freeway.
Nipsey's story is your story right up until we get to your story. That's the only problem with that statement. And Nipsey's story is the story right up until we get to your part of the story. Then it's not Nipsey's story anymore. So I know I resonate with that in your heart. But brother, from Nipsey's woman to how Nipsey did his money, Nipsey wasn't unbanked. Nipsey wasn't off the books. Nipsey wasn't undocumented. How long you been out of prison?
Well, I mean, about 20 years. I also have my degree. And,
okay, you're out of prison. You've been out of prison for 2 decades.
Yes, sir.
And you are still undocumented.
I gave it my best shot.
Think about, no. You just made a comparison between yourself and Nipsey Hussle, dude. Come on. Let's get serious.
Yeah, okay. Let me clarify this real quick. When I say Nipsey's story is my story, I'm talking about people that come from the bottom. You hear me? Somebody that comes from the bottom with no options.
Okay.
As far as I was concerned.
Right, I get that. I get
you know
that part.
I mean?
2 decades later,
right.
However, you are still not where you're supposed to be. It doesn't sound like it. You've gotten kind of comfortable. And what I'm saying is that congratulations on what you have done, but you are never
right.
going to be able to respect yourself as a man as long as you are in the position you're in right now. That
right,
might have worked,
right. And
that might have worked when you first got out the joint, but right now you've taken a coping mechanism and attempted to transform that into a primary engine. And there's no way you respect yourself as much as you should. There's no way your woman respects you as much as she should. There's no way your kids respect you as much as they should looking at this example. Dad's business,
right.
which is his empire, he's got to act like the janitor or servant where he's the king. There's no
right. you know,
way
that's, that that's
people
what you're at. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Black. That's just for that particular business. We also generate money from the, you know, I own two houses. We stay in one and we rent the other.
Okay, brother, listen to me. The way you do one thing is the way you do all things.
Right.
Okay? So let's not try to run that game. The way I see you do one thing, I know now how you do everything. So this is what you're doing at the comic shop. I know what you're doing everywhere else. I know how you carry yourself everywhere else. I know how you do it. Because you wouldn't be able to do it at the comic shop if you wasn't perfecting it in other places. So you might tell yourself, I mean, no. See, I switch it up when it gets to work. Not exactly. Not exactly.
Right.
And
right,
even if you did, if you could, which is not the case, but if you did or even if you could, you are still having to put shackles on yourself. So there's no way that you are making that one. There's no way that your engine is running at 100% when you get into other stuff if you're doing this, if you're handling your comic book business the other way. What I'm saying
right.
is that if the business requires you to sacrifice your dignity and self-respect, business might not be worth it.
I definitely understand that.
Now, this is the difference between what's doing the broadcast about here tonight. The reason why I put this picture up with Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle and Tracy Morgan is because they were resenting. And what I'm saying is that's your business, but you're telling me, by the way, I got to keep my head low. Well, the white folk might as well run. You don't have to put on a dashiki, put up pictures of Malcolm X. You don't have to do none of that. But you got people scared, got you scared to show your face at your own shop? Or to acknowledge you as the boss of your own shop? Understand something, brother. Power does not respect weakness. Power only respects power. You
right.
are hiding for no reason. If your business is good and you do good business, people are going to fool with you no matter what. You're not really hiding for any reason you need to. And if you're not legit, you need to fix that. Because otherwise, you're going to be hiding for the rest of your damn life. And you're going to be subservient to your woman because she knows how to pull your card. Now, that's something you ain't thought about. I'm very glad she was there with you for 15 years. But, dude, women flip in a minute. You got to make sure you are straight. And if you're still living by street felon rules when you're no longer a felon, You ain't living that life like that, dude. Get your paper straight. Get your money straight. Get your documentation straight so that you nobody's got the ability to pull your card. Because right now, the way you're talking, anybody who wants to hate on you, and I'm so glad we're talking about hate or not tonight, anybody who wants to hate on you can pull your card at any minute from what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
At any moment, somebody who wants to mess up your whole thing can sit up here and do it. Why are you leaving that kind of power? It's time. If you got your money straight, you need to hire you a lawyer, get this stuff straightened all the way out. Get it straightened all the way out so that you can start some big business. Because if you're unbanked and documented, that means you ain't relying on credit score or anything else. Access to capital that you otherwise need, get some real stuff going, you can't do, or you have to do it in her name. And eventually she's going to be like, well, hell, he don't really run it. You don't ever let a woman lead you, because women are emotionally based and they will not be able to resist the urge to give in to saying, by the way, I can run his ass. Especially
yes,
when you're dealing with a white supremacist society.
Yes, sir. I totally hear you loud and clear.
I'm real worried about the situation as you're describing it to me. You're talking about what you can't say, and this, that, and the other. Well, you know, the money ain't straight. Man, get straightened the hell out. Because right now, she
yes,
or anybody, even if she never does anything, her kinfolk, your friends, hating, somebody can pull something on you at any minute. Don't let that go on. Okay, well,
yes, sir.
Hell, what kind of man walks around in fear every day? If your money is straight, dude, go pay a law $2,500 and get this straightened all the way out. Are you a fugitive from the law?
No, sir, not at all.
Okay, well, if you're not a fugitive from the law, get you a damn attorney so that they can take care of that. But the rest of this got to go, man. The rest of this got to go.
Best advice I've had all year, brother. I appreciate it.
Hell, that'll be the best $500 you spent. Oh, yeah. By the way, as soon as you get one word of warning to you. As soon as you get that paperwork off your back, watch your woman.
I'm already watching, brother.
Because everything that you have described to me sounds like you're pretty safe, because she knows she could pick up a phone and shut you down anytime she wants to. If she loses that ability, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. But
yes, sir.
When you get that paper up off your back, be ready for folks' attitudes towards you to change, because they realize, oh, hell, we can't call no hands on them. So be ready. I got the last
Indeed,
word.
Indeed, brother. My last word would just be to all those listening. This brother is very solid. I come from definitely your school. Like I said, I'm an 80s baby. You have to be militant. You have to be able to take constructive criticism, and you have to be able to have a lot of discipline. And I appreciate you, getting our people straight, getting them on code, getting them disciplined, and y'all try not to be too sensitive out there, all right? Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much for giving us a call here tonight. Please do give us a call again. I want to see people doing well, but if you want to know what the real problem is, some of this other stuff going on, when you're psychologically dominated, some of this other stuff that's going on, that's what's causing a problem. That's what's causing an issue. Let me go ahead and get caller from 513. You're on live with Black Channel.
What up, TVA? This is Dave from Cincinnati.
Dave from Cincinnati, what's on your mind?
Yeah, man, just going back to what you were saying about, man, these haters out here, man, because, like, how I go to work every day, like, the older guys, man, they be hating on the young fellas. You know, it's crazy, like,
they be chasing their mandatory's manumission. And it's like, you know, sometimes I confront them with it and they can't take it. It hurt their feelings. You know? They love cooning. They be snitching on everybody. They just be hating. And, you know, I don't really understand it.
Well, you do understand.
These old niggas.
We live in a culture where people are allowed to do that because there are no consequences for doing so. So it becomes incumbent on everybody to start employing consequences for being a hater. Black folk will make more consequences for how you wear damn hair than for somebody screwing them out of money or for somebody not upholding the code. That's where we're at right now. That's what needs to be taken care of. As far as these older niggas are concerned, brother, you also have to understand what I've taught you all, that most of them are broken, most of them are defeated, and they just want a quiet death. They just want to die peacefully. They don't. They just don't want no trouble. They are broken. They're toothless rats, not even toothless lions. They're toothless rats. So you got to understand, for the average black male over the age of 50, most of them are broken. They spent 5 decades living under coping mechanisms, which is why I told the previous caller, he's been living 2 decades now under coping mechanisms. How you could be solid and you built your entire life based on coping mechanism?
Right.
How you gonna be solid? You're not gonna be able to be solid living on coping mechanisms. So when you got a bunch of males who live with coping mechanisms, they've been economically defeated, so they give themselves coping mechanisms like, well, if I can just buy a used Mercedes S-Class from 2012, I've been wanting that car since 2012, so if I can get one of them at the age of 50 or 55, let me get a 10-year-old car. That make up for the progress I didn't make. So they end up relying on coping mechanisms. Or young males ain't building them. Well, let me get a pair of Jordans.
Right.
And I'm saying when you divorce yourself from coping mechanisms, then real progress is made. That's the challenge in front of us now. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please give us a call again. Go ahead and see if we can get caller from 213. You've been on hold for a while now. You're on live with the Black. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Jason, how's it going? This is Jay. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Jay from Baltimore.
Yeah, man. Hey, what's up, brother? Yeah. You know, I'm the kind of person, I really don't give a damn what anybody does. Personally, I don't care who they sleep with. You know, whatever it is that they do, that's your life. Don't affect me. But one argument that I do think has some merit is, you know, when people say things like, you know, if you do involve yourself, if you're successful with a white person, quite often, and I think the caller before the last one kind of illustrated this, it just seems like we always end up on the losing end of the stick, whether it's, you know, they end up, you know, taking everything in a divorce. And I get women do that regardless, but... You know, it just seems like there's a consistent, constant wealth transfer back to white people. So it's like, how can you kind of be first if, you know, when you get a little something, that's where you end up. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, as far as that argument of, well, the white woman gets everything, actually, I'm less concerned about the white woman and more concerned about the mixed children. Because that's going to be the future. The woman's not going to outlive the man by too much longer. I'm concerned about the kids. Take a look at Michael Jackson's legacy. Bill Cosby's legacy. Yikes. That's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. We don't even have to think about Camille anymore. What about Bill Cosby's kids? Oops. Yikes. So I'm more concerned about that. Because if we had a unified code and agenda as a people, we get the kids on code. See, the amount of pressure we can put on Barack Obama is considerable, but limited. The amount of pressure we can put on his daughters is a lot more considerable.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to have to deal with more black people. They're more likely to have to deal with more black in the real world. So if we create an environment that holds young people on code, even if their parents fail, it's not going to be more than one generation that's on code like that, and we can get the next back on code. So we, but the real issue is you have a lot of females looking at these black males, and they're not even saying this from a strategic standpoint that you're talking about. This worried about, well, why did you choose the white woman and not me? I'm like, baby, if you don't took your sexual promiscuity up your ass, this is not about whether or not you get this man. Okay, he's with the white woman. What do we do now to turn this to our advantage? What do we do now to be able to use this to our best advantage? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of focusing on
that, that's a very good point.
You have to understand, brother, the term called settled law. But you also have to understand when the night's over. You got to understand when the night's over. If he's married the white woman, the night's over. You're done. Now you have to deal with the new environment. Refusal to change is not going to alter that.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, and just one brief comment before I let you go. I was listening to last night's show, and I'm actually a truck driver myself. You know, I'm actually at an Amazon facility right now. I've been all over this country. I've lived in California. I've lived in New Jersey. My girlfriend, she's half Sierra Leonean. And, I mean, she's sitting next to me right now. We have these kind of conversations all the time with regards to immigrants, and even she has admitted that there is kind of this, you know, underlying pervasive thought that, you know, black Americans are lazy and different things like that. And the reality of the situation is all these places I've been, you know, I went to school with Nigerians, you know, all these Amazon facilities that I go in and out of, they're run by immigrants. You know, which I just think is crazy because it's like the foremans are immigrants and everybody else is black, but it's whatever. But, you know, these people, they really don't deal with us like that. You know, so all this, you know, Pan-Africanism, people just need to wake up, man, and realize that we are being replaced out here politically, you know. So I just want to let you know, bro, I support you. I spread the message and, you know, God bless you.
Well, thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. We need to worry less. The problem is getting folks to stop worrying about other people's sex habits and get them to worry about power habits. Stop focusing on what you can't do and start focusing on what you can. But when we're dealing with somebody who's a hater, somebody who's just talking for attention, they don't focus on what can get done. I'm not here to beat these people. I'm here to gain power, wealth, and influence. And these folks don't have a say over where the group goes. So we have to understand where their position is in the hierarchy. But if you don't have a unified line of thought, it doesn't get that far along. Caller from 323 Area Code, you're on live with the Black Channel. With a bunch of noise.
Hey, how you doing, Jason? How you doing, Mr. Black? This is Brother Elijah. I called yesterday.
Okay, Brother Elijah, you got a lot of noise going there. Make your point.
Yeah, I'm on the bus. So please excuse me, Mr. Black. I got a question. Just to piggyback off of yesterday's program, when you was making a comment, when you was teaching us yesterday about how the Hispanics prior to 1998 they didn't influence elections. Okay, prior to 1998. I got a question. I grew up in New York City, and I noticed, especially that caller yesterday, he was Dominican. When I grew up in New York City, the Dominicans were very, very prejudiced towards foundational black Americans, and a lot of them, they were, what'd you say?
They still are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm not, no, there's no debate there. Yes, sir. But I got a question because I heard this on the streets in New York City, but you're more educated about this subject than I am. Where did that come from especially with a lot of the Latinos. Was that like ingrained in them ever since when they were there, or did the man of America before when he vetted them, did he put that hatred in them? That, I'm trying to articulate it the best way I could, but where did that
You have a bunch of people who consider themselves to be melanated Spaniards, long story short.
Yes, sir.
So that's what up against. They're melanated, but they consider themselves to be Spanish and not African.
Yes, sir. And then I got another question then. If that's the case then, sir, isn't it wise for us to basically, it's time for us to not just, they're going to hold their own nuts, as our brother Tariq said, but I think we need to just stop, just separate from them completely. Is that possible?
I mean, we don't have to separate from them. We need to get together with each other.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it works. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do
thank you.
Call again. Let me get caller from 317 on live with the Black Channel. Okay, brother. You got a lot of mumbling going on there. Where are you calling from?
I'm at work. Let me get off my Wi-Fi. Hold on.
Lord, people, if you can call up, at least.
Can you hear me, brother?
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Damon, Indianapolis.
Damien in Indianapolis, what's on your mind?
Man, first I want to say, please take me off the block list, man. Please.
Okay.
I'm a black guy, Israel. And,
if you got blocked,
I agree with most of the stuff.
If you got blocked, you got blocked for a reason.
Well, I don't know why, though. Like, I don't hardly ever comment on anything, so I was trying to figure out why. But anyway, regardless of that, I just want to say, like, a lot of these problems, man, we could be fighting back against a lot of this right now. I told a guy not too long ago, like, you don't ask for power, you take it. So I can't tell you how many times I've been on jobs, man, and I had to go through stuff with people. I stand up for my own people. And when it's time to fight back, they lead me to the wolves. See what I'm saying? Like, I didn't been involved with lawsuits and stuff because the only way we can fight back is to use the system right now. So, like, just like I was on the job and I had a lady, she was crying. We worked 12-hour shifts. And this lady, we were supposed to sit down for 6 hours and stand for 6 hours. And it was an older lady, remind me of my mom. So she was crying and said she had arthritis, her knees and stuff was hurting real bad. And I said, well, go say something to the guy. Tell him to give you your 6 hours sitting down and your 6 hours standing up that you don't want to stand for the whole 12 hours. This lady was scared to go say something to him, so I wouldn't say it for her. You know, a white guy, he liked to bully on black people. He was scared to bully on the black men, so he was just bullying on the black ladies. So I went and confronted him and told him, hey, man, it ain't right for you to have this lady standing up for 12 hours. You let all the white women go and sit down for 6 hours and stand for 6 hours. Let this lady go have a seat. So he got mad at me and started retaliating against me. So when he started retaliating, I just started documenting every damn thing. And they ended up firing me. Come on, man. Really? All right. So you got to fight back, man. I mean, you playing the music, but it's all good. I can give you my information where you can see I went and fought these people all the way to the 7th Circuit in Chicago.
Well, brother, I'm very glad to hear that. I hope it went well.
But all I'm saying, if you're going to get on cold, man, you got to start somewhere. I can't tell you how many times on these jobs, man, everybody cooning, especially the black people. We don't do nothing but complain about shit. I'm not complaining about nothing.
Just make sure
I'm
going to
put my damn foot down.
Just make sure you're not the one doing it, okay?
Doing what?
Just make sure you're not the one. Don't be the one cooning. Watch them, but you just don't be the one doing it, okay? I'm sure the folks you helped out appreciate it, or they don't. If they don't,
they don't appreciate it.
Just focus more on empowering yourself so that when you do eventually meet up with people who are on the same page you're on, you'll be prepared. as opposed to trying
see,
to
that's
get
the problem. I can't never meet nobody that's on the same page, man.
Okay,
I fight against all these people.
Leave Indianapolis. There's a bunch of other places.
It's bad
out there.
Here, man.
People,
Indiana.
If people are not on code where you are, get your money and get the hell out and go join with some people who are.
That's what I was trying to think, but hell, where the hell to go, man? Like,
okay. First
that,
answer,
that mindset's in a lot of places.
First answer, anywhere other than where you are. It ain't working right there. Go somewhere else. Start looking at other cities. See what they got. Start visiting other places. You can go visit another city.
I was
city
thinking about starting my own damn business, at least.
Do that or whatever. Go visit another city somewhere and go soak up vibe from it and see if it looks right for you. And then make a decision. Thank you very much for giving us a call right tonight. Let me get caller from 262. You're on live with the Black Show.
Good evening, Brother Jason. Larry Vincent calling. I'm calling out of Racine, Wisconsin.
Larry out of Racine, what's on your mind?
Good evening, brother. Well, I just wanted to say a few things about the condition of those of us who are standing to fight the system of white supremacy. First of all, we as a people, it takes strong mental fortitude to push forward under this condition, under our conditions, with us being in this societal prison. It takes mental fortitude for us to be able to go through our daily lives knowing that everything is rigged to suppress us and keep us from succeeding and reaching our full potential. And I just want to say, first of all, I'm proud to know so many of the people I've met online who are staunch and firm in their fight for themselves, for their families, and for our teachers, you and our other speakers who continuously uphold us by giving us the correct information and by smoothing our edges so that we don't get caught up. But one of the things I really wanted to talk to you.
We're running short on time here, so I'm going to take this call, but thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. I'm not going to go on for 4 hours here tonight, but I want to try to get through a few more calls before. I'm not going to a 4-hour program, people. I'm just not. But let me get caller from 347. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Caller from 347. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Do you have something to say, sir? Okay. He has nothing to say. Caller from 3-2, you're on live with the Black Channel.
It's Prince out of Richmond, Texas.
Prince out of Richmond, Texas. Don't buy anybody else a Tahoe, sir. You're on live with the Black Channel.
I thought you forgot me, Jason.
Sir,
Jason,
the reason
I'm not gonna
that
do that.
They call me, this is why they call me the authority. Go ahead, Prince.
Okay, Jason, I got a couple of things for you. Number one, dealing with your program from last night, you know, Houston has the should still have the largest Nigerian population in the United States. And when you're dealing with immigrants, black immigrants in particular, a lot of them calling in, Jason, and they're talking about this and that, but they're not lending any support. They're just giving empty words.
Correct.
All they're talking about, I support reparations. That means nothing, but their whole conversation, they're not making any action into helping us do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And
they say they support reparations, but the only way they want to support reparations is, oh, yeah, vote for Bernie or vote for somebody else who's on the immigrant thing. But nothing about pushing for laws now. Nothing can push for progress now. So they can talk about ICE and detention and all this stuff, but they ain't talking about reparations now. So everything they say, yeah, I support reparations, vote for Bernie.
Well, you know how someone would get behind us if they had white approval. One, they feel like they're in competition with us. They don't think we're lazy. They don't think we're lazy. That's a lie. There's been Nigerians that in since the 70s, there were Nigerians in Fifth Ward where I was growing up at. They know we get stuff done when we're not procrastinating and bull jiving around. They know. It's just that they sit back. They don't cooperate. They have their own little think tank. They have their own things that they get together and do business. I've tried to work with some of our brothers. They have no desire to work with you. We have the Hurricane Harvey. They have a lawsuit we just won down here in West Houston, Richmond, Texas area. And, you know, Katy and all the Cinco Ranch right around this big reserve against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. But do you think when I told people, hey, you need to do this, the black people, they didn't listen, and I have nothing to tell them. And it's even some of our foundation of black Americans. What I find with them, when I say, hey, man, you need to get the lawsuit together, I find out their houses are not in their name, Jason. I find out that they haven't took care of their business properly, have their house properly insured. How can you have a new home and not have it properly insured? And I think a lot of people calling in with nonsense, Jason, they need to get their business together. They want to tell you how they're mistreated here and there, but we're not doing stuff right for the next generation. See, the children are suffering while they're telling you we need to study reparations. These people have no heart for the children. I sit down and show my daughter how a mortgage works. I show her how the HOA and everything, the bills. I show her how to keep people from suing you, how not to be liable for things. I'm teaching her and my nieces that. But all these grown folks running around trying to impress someone, Jason.
Well, you know, the reason why those folks at the Turkey Hut were able to prevail on this, even if that email hadn't come out, they were still going to prevail because, you know, they had their money straight. They bought up vacant lots around the place to expand the parking, but they made sure their money was straight. So ultimately they were going to win. This was just going to be a big inconvenience for them, but they were ultimately going to win. As black people, we don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan. So you get more organized about planning with your people under your own roof is what you're doing, with the people you know best. You have the most. If you strengthen yourself where you have the most control, then you can go out into the world where you have less control. So yes, to begin with, hopefully you meet other people who are on the same page. Hopefully you do. But in the event you don't, like I say, you work with the few that you can, because we don't need a whole bunch of people, man. You just need two or three of y'all to get together and be serious. But as far as the Nigerian population is concerned, right now we just have to accept the reality that there's going to be a few of them we can work with. But as a group, we can't assume we're going to be able to do anything with them, because as a group, they see us the way the white supremacists do. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Now, please do give us a call again. Let me get caller from 267. You're on Live Black Channel.
Hey, how you doing? This is Molly Scott from Philly.
Mouth
and I was God. Calling because I was thinking that. Molly Scott.
What's up on your mind, Molly?
I was told to call in. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think you do know why you asked to call in, Molly.
I guess I was told. Well, I called because what the guy said, what the guy was saying was dumb. I agree with that. But to generalize, basically saying that people are filling you off cold with the money and stuff like that, that's not true. Like, I know a bunch of business owners that I support myself. And I was also a homeowner in Philadelphia as well. So I know people in Philly that's doing their thing. So the generalization and stuff like that, that's untrue. And I know you're from Louisiana, so I don't think I've been to Louisiana. I don't see a bunch of black businesses like Philadelphia got.
Okay. Do you hear anybody on my phone telling us that we need to study reparations from Louisiana?
No.
Do you
know
the population? Excuse me. Do you know the black population of the entire state of Louisiana?
No. No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know everybody in Louisiana.
Do you know,
Louisiana,
do you know
Louisiana.
The black population of the city of Philadelphia?
Yes. I know.
What is the black population of Philadelphia?
You mean the whole entire population? Like, it's around, like, a little over probably 45%, maybe. It was, like, 60%, like, maybe, like, a decade ago. But the population is declining because of gentrification and stuff like that. And I've spoken to a lot of friends that try to challenge gentrification.
I really want to know the number. How many, that's what I was asking, how many black people are there in the city of Philadelphia?
No, I don't know the exact number, no.
Okay. Everybody, you can go to Google right now. Okay, stop. Just stop, Molly. Just stop. Everyone can go to Google right now. You can go check out and Google the black population of the state of Louisiana. And then go Google the black population of the Philadelphia metropolitan area and Pittsburgh metropolitan area. We'll just take those two cities and take a look at the number of the black population in just those two cities alone. Just those two alone. By themselves. I don't hear anybody from Louisiana saying that we need to study reparations. And I am referring to the attitude. I'm referring to the attitude of the previous caller from Philadelphia. I'm referring to the attitude.
I'm not arguing in his defense. That's what I'm saying. He's On the HR 40, yeah,
He is typical of the black male.
He's not typical
in Philadelphia. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he really
he's
is.
He's not typical at all. People in Philadelphia are growing. Black people in Philadelphia are growing in business because they understand that they don't have the support of the politicians.
Brother, are you serious? Did you really say that? Say that one more time. Say that one more time so everybody can hear you.
The young black people in Philadelphia do not believe in the politicians out there.
No. The part said right before that.
That he's a typical? No.
No. The part where you said why there are more black businesses growing in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're growing, but I mean, gentrification is
it's a dominating
thing out in Philadelphia. Anybody that's been to Philadelphia knows that they're putting lofts and condos all over the ghetto. It's like crazy. It was dominating our neighborhood. It's dominating my neighborhood that I was born in. I was born in West Philadelphia. I just recently moved there from two years ago.
Huh? Brother, Philadelphia as a group, that guy is typical of black male representation in Philadelphia as a group. This is the reality. And I don't say this to spit on black men in Philadelphia. I say this to say, get the damn house in order. You've got more black people. Stop, Molly. You've got more black people in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh that we've got in the entire state of Louisiana. Do you understand that? You've got more black people in the Philadelphia and Pittsburgh metropolitan areas than I've got in the entire state of Louisiana. Now, if you don't see that as a problem with the response he gave, then I ain't got nothing else to say. He is typical of what you find all up and down Roosevelt. He's typical of what you find at the Walmart selling DVDs and CDs. He's typical of it. He's typical. And you can't fix the problem until you face the problem.
I agree.
So let's stop living in denial. You want to clean that up? You got to deal with this problem by hand.
And if I see him in person, I would look at him like a damn fool. I see him. He's the average guy in the corner, you know, with the game, just running game, talking BS. But I try to stay away from guys like that, but I don't know. Yeah. He's a small percentage of guys talk like that. But I mean, it's I agree with you, though, Jason. I agree with you, though. We got to get the house in order.
This is not a situation for people to get off in their little feelings and rep their hood. I'm from Louisiana. I was born and raised. I was the first person who put out one of the very first videos criticizing Black people's response during Hurricane Katrina. Even though I know there was a lot of white machinations. I'm not looking for those people to do the right thing. They're the bad guys. They're the bad guys. I didn't sit up here and say, woe is me, and you know, they done us wrong. I'm saying that we have spent decades following the Mark Reals and his daddy, and that set us up for a situation like Katrina to happen. That set us up. I didn't rep the hood. I didn't rep my block. I didn't say we're going to stick by. I'm saying we got to get our house in order. We got to get our house in order. This is not the time for us to look at the situation and say, what can we do to spare our feelings? We got to get our house in order. And in Philadelphia, the house is not in order. Individuals are using a bunch of coping mechanisms as daily mechanisms. That's the problem. That they had a total break with reality because they are helpless, and rather than deal with the heavy lifting required to change literal reality, they're instead retreating into coping mechanisms. We need concrete, tangible, talking about everybody sit up here and talk about studies, intangibles, let me start a school, let me start daycare, let me get hustle together or whatever. No concrete plans of any kind. As a group, I'm not going to cherry pick one person here and one person there. That's an emotional coping mechanism. As a group, Black males in Philadelphia, right now you've really got the largest industrial complex in America emerging out of Philadelphia, all places. Yeah, Louisiana and the Deep South really per capita beats them, but what they're doing in Philadelphia, that's nothing but a damn school-prison pipeline, literally. They are literally erecting a school-to-prison pipeline in Philadelphia. They're literally closing the school and opening more prisons, literally. They literally right now are on pace to have a prison industrial complex that is equipped to incarcerate, what, a quarter, 30% of Black males in Philadelphia? They literally are erecting a complex that can jail one-third of the Black male population. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. That thing is, no, what they're doing right now, draconian would be charitable. Call it draconian would be charitable. And I got people talking about this study.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you said that, because right around the corner from my house, they opened up two juvenile jails around the corner from my house, two abandoned buildings that used to be apartment complexes. Well, I guess for women with you know, single mother, Section 8, whatever like that. They just closed those down and opened up to juvenile jails, right in West Philadelphia. So, yeah, this movie
like
fast.
They're opening up jails in Philadelphia like Circle K's. One coming near you and one coming to get you. So when I hear people discussing anything other than tangible results right here, right now, I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to give it any type of audience. None. And the reason why he was talking like that is because that's what black males do. Malcolm X spoke about this in his autobiography, that as a group, black males tend to huddle together and try to comfort each other in our weakness and in our powerlessness. And I'm not blaming you for getting into a situation. I'm not blaming you for getting knocked down, but I do have to say, damn it, we got to get up. But instead, we sit around and come with emotional coping mechanisms to comfort each other. And I know that we were maneuvered into this situation, and I get that. But I'm here to say, no, nigga, I got to smack you across the back and say, you got to get on your square. I can't tolerate the excuses. You got to get on your square. But, Jason, I'm not properly equipped. Neither were the Haitians in 1804. Neither was Alexander Turner. Neither was Nat Turner. Jack Johnson. Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jackson. We have never had all the advantages. We haven't had all the advantages since Emmett. So I can't accept that as explanation or excuse. I can't accept it. We've never had all the advantages. Everybody's always had advantages. We got to make it work. We got to make it work. And if I allow anybody to give me an excuse out of Philadelphia, they'll milk that damn thing for 300 years until folks just annihilate. So there can be no excuses granted. None. And when we're talking about reparations, they're telling me, no, they're in Philadelphia where they're erecting a industrial complex, and he's talking about, let's study the situation for the next 10 damn years. They building jails and prisons now, and he wants to study what we going to do. The jails are getting built tonight. He wants to study it for another 10 years. And in 10 years, we'll make a move. In 10 years, they'll have half-black men in Pennsylvania behind bars while he's studying it. We need to get serious as men. As men. And if a white man put us on a football field, we wouldn't be giving nobody no damn excuses. We would just be getting the damn thing done. And I'm saying we need to turn that type of focus and determination towards ourselves. We need to turn that type of determination to our benefit and focus it on us. If Bill Belichick said it, if Sean Payton said it, we'd be knocking over old stadiums. Okay, put energy to work for you. A white man puts you on the field and say, I don't give a damn how you get it done, get it done. Okay, why can't we say that to ourselves? The coach don't ask you how you're going to get it done. He says, get to the damn goal. We need to do that for ourselves. We need to do it for ourselves. That's all I'm saying. I'll let you have the last word.
Well, I appreciate the message, man. And this is a good broadcast tonight, man. You was 100% correct on what you said. We got to get on cold. We got to stop making excuses, especially in Pennsylvania. I mean, Philadelphia, but Pennsylvania, period, has the worst laws. And I remember you playing 7 a.m. in Philadelphia. I remember when it first came around here, man. You was 100% correct what was going on in Philadelphia, how we lost everything. And, you know, we have some businesses, but we don't have no power here. We have no power in any of the local offices. as politicians, like our schools is all messed up. So you gotta get on code, man, and be one.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. I know it can be difficult to hear those things, and this is why I'm calling this Haternomics. When it's time for us to discuss what we need to get everybody on the same page, people are getting their feelings. Well, you're talking about my city, my hood. Dude, this is about get your act together. This is not about avoiding it. I'm not dissing anybody's city. I'm not dissing anybody's block. This is not about which one of us got more dirt on them. This ain't about that. This is about everybody getting stronger on here and saying, no, no excuses. And in Philadelphia, you got to tell it like it is. Too much of that going on. If the caller had been from New Orleans, I'd be telling you about New Orleans. If the caller had been from Houston, I'd be telling you about Houston. I don't want people trying to change the subject. There's a lot we can learn from this. But these are going to be some tough pills to swallow. But it's time to learn it. I've talked about New Orleans before. I don't have to talk about them again. New Orleans was last night. Deal with some people who got results. Deal with some people who don't accept excuses. Deal with people who their currency is money. Their currency ain't talking. Deal with people who are focused on that. If you're new here to the Black Channel, welcome to the Haven of Intelligent Black Thought. We do this every weekend. If you have not clicked the red subscribe button, do so now. And if you have clicked the yellow notification bell, do that as well and make sure you've checked the box for receiving all notifications, not just select notifications. We do this every weekend. I want you to join us here at the New Black Media. And to go even deeper into it, the caller was referring to my documentary, Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style. Go to our website, blackchannelfilms.com. That is blackchannelfilms.com. Check out our documentary work, 7 a.m., Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style, our new documentary, Race War. All available on Amazon, all available streaming, all available now. Call two friends, call two enemies, call a white supremacist, call a coon, and get them the gift of black empowerment this holiday season. BlackChannelFilms.com, that's BlackChannelFilms.com. And this concludes tonight's podcast of the BlackChannel.net radio program. I am your host, your brother, or humble servant, Black Authority. And until next time, my brother and my sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.